Joined by Eric Engels of Sportsnet in Montreal. So I suppose the question is, do we want to talk about the Avalanche or the Montreal Canadiens? It seems last night was teams trending in different directions. Eric, do we have you there?
No, you have me. I wasn't sure if you were teeing me up for a question there, and I interrupted you right in the middle of it. I was going to say I could speak about either. So I was at the game, so whatever you got for me, shoot.
Well, let's do this. You're out east covering a team in the east, so you're only going to see the Avs once in Montreal, twice over the course of the whole season if you're on that beat traveling. What did you make of Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, and company?
Well, the talent is obvious, but there's a couple of other things that really stood out to me because we know all about the talent there. We know what Makar is doing, and you know his name is starting to enter into the Norris Trophy conversation, I think with good reason, considering he's a point-of-game player as a rookie in this league and just elevated minutes, and you know you see him live in person, what he's doing. You know, he doesn't look like a rookie. He looks like a 10-year vet. So the speed is tremendous. It stands out. It's eye-popping. You'd say the same thing about Nate MacKinnon, no matter where he's playing, and obviously Rantanen and Landeskog coming back. But what stood out to me watching the Avalanche last night is two things. One, they're probably middle of the pack in terms of weight and average height, but it's really about the way they play, and they play a heavy game, and they lean on you, and they're hard at all areas of the ice, and they make it difficult to get to their net. And that brings me to point number two, which is that they're extremely well coached. And, you know, good for Joe Sakic for standing by Jared Bednar when, you know, things were tough in Colorado over the last couple of years, because the commitment he has from his entire team, which would otherwise be, you know, I wouldn't say they would be a one-line team if they didn't commit to that coaching, but, you know, they have a line that is significantly better than their others. Not to say they don't have other good players. They've added great depth pieces there, and obviously picking up a guy like Kadri, who wasn't in the game, he had a lower body injury last night, is that extends your depth. And a guy like Andre Burakovsky coming in and coming back into the lineup last night, that extends your depth. And it blew me away how well coached they are in the second half of a back-to-back game to play the type of game they played in Montreal last night.
Sounded gritty, sounded physical. You've already been tweeting about events that will not result in suspensions, but safe to say that means they were no fun at all. And as you alluded to or just mentioned, that's the second of two games with travel in the middle on the road. That's impressive.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think everybody knows they're going to be a bear to contend with from here to the end. And, you know, that said, we know what the National Hockey League looks like nowadays. A team can be on fire, and then all of a sudden they're very cold, and you know, kind of brings us to Montreal, right? Before they went on this 2-week skid where, you know, they lost 8 games in a row, and now it's 9-10. They picked up points in 7 straight games, or you know, 8 of 9 games. So that's just the league now.
Yeah, walk us through the latest in Montreal. I know that this is a league where you can expect to have a rough patch and maybe a good run. Most teams are going to have both in a year, but that market's just different. There's massive amounts of media in two different languages. There's a pressure and I guess just a standard that's different than almost any other market in sport. How has this been received, and where on the on your, I'm sure your multicolored chart of chaos are we right now? Are we into the panic mode yet?
Yeah, we got full rainbow. No, seriously, you know, everything is magnified in Montreal, and you talk about the pressure, and it obviously can be suffocating at times, especially when things aren't going well, but it can also be the greatest motivating factor, natural motivating factor, that, you know, it's expected you're going to do well and you're going to try hard, and, you know, you don't have to convince yourself when you're not feeling great to give it your best. It's playing in front of that crowd at the Bell Center is something unique, and it is special. And yes, you know, you see something similar in Calgary and in Vancouver and in Toronto and in the Canadian markets. I wish I could say all of them, but most of them. And especially, you know, I definitely experienced that in Winnipeg too. But yeah, the daily expectations on the team and in both official languages and all the media that surrounds it, it can be difficult to deal with when things aren't going well. But if you use it and you know, repurpose it for a motivational factor, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better one.
How's the Caden Primo experience been through one game? That's a real tough spot for him. And I just found it really interesting that the Habs would even consider bringing him into this type of environment, given that it hasn't gone great, despite obviously Kincaid's struggles.
Yeah, I think you could look at that decision two ways. One is that, you know, you're dropping this kid into almost an impossible scenario against one of the most lethal offensive teams in Colorado, while your own team had lost eight of nine games going into the game. And, you know, those are perfect storm elements for a major one. And I think the other way you'd look at it is like, let's see what this kid is made of. You know, he's reputed as a calm, cool, collected type. You know, his pedigree is growing with every game he plays at the professional level. He had only had 12 prior to last night. But, you know, you look at his repertoire in college and at the World Juniors, and, you know, he's just got number one goalie potential going down the line, and he's developing. And it comes down to the fact that the Canadians desperately need wins, and they weren't getting any of that out of Keith Kincaid. They weren't really getting an opportunity to win with him in the net, and they weren't getting Carey Price some rest. You know, prior to Primo starting last night, Price was on pace for the most games he's ever played in the season, and he played 66 last year. So it's just one of those situations, and I think anybody who thinks that throwing Primo to the Wolves, so to speak, or throwing him into that type of situation last night is unfair and this and that, or that it could, you know, if it didn't go well, it could really hamper his confidence. You know, you got to remember, this kid's been playing hockey at an elite level every step of the way for his entire life. And if one game is going to crush him, that's going to speak more to who he actually is versus who they want him to be. So it's clear, even though he lost the game, he played an excellent hockey game against Colorado. He made 32 saves, maybe a couple goals out of nerves, where he wasn't able to cover a puck, or wasn't able to shut down a kind of a one-on-one opportunity from Landeskog, who made a nice move and scored a nice goal. But he gave them a chance to win, and that's what they desperately need, and they need an opportunity to rest Carey Price, and he could potentially provide that in the short term, but as they maybe look for other options or see what he can give them.
We chat with Elliot weekly, and he's so dialed in. He has not come out and said, but he's definitely allowed everyone to read between the lines, that said missing the playoffs in Montreal will not be tolerated this year. That's a really tough division when you consider who were the top three teams were in that division last year, and that Buffalo and Florida are improved, not to mention, you know, the Habs were close last year. Are we really talking about wholesale changes if Montreal misses the playoffs?
I don't know about wholesale, but, you know, it's going to be from the top down, and a decision will have to be made. When you're Mark Bergevin, you miss the playoffs 4 out of 5 years. If the Canadians end up missing it this year and become the third edition in the history of the team to do that, you know, how much rope do you have? Well, I guess we're going to find out. I know that Jeff Molson trusts him inherently. He believes in the job he's doing, and I think if you look over the last couple of years, after a really rough season in 2017-18, where, you know, he was allowed to keep his job, he was kind of set up for success and has done a great job since with things. But, you know, he's somewhat stuck between the future and the present, and the pressure to make the playoffs this year is huge, not just to go down in the history books in a bad way if they miss, but also because as you cultivate this young talent and you develop it, there's no better breeding ground than the playoffs and that type of experience that can take you from, you know, I don't want to say rebuilding. His particular word for it was retooling. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in a retool, you're going to speed up that process significantly by making the playoffs and getting your young players experience. And the Canadians are depending on a lot of young players in their lineup right now.
Fair enough. Anything else that's caught your eye here around the 1/3 pole of this 2019-20 season, Eric?
I think just, you know, from the Canadians' perspective, you know, we assume that one of the biggest reasons that they would be able to potentially make the playoffs this year is the depth they had. You know, you look up and down their lineup, and for a coach that likes to roll four lines and balances out his forward minutes more than anybody, you wouldn't have assumed that the loss of Jonathan Drouin for 8 weeks to a wrist injury, or Paul Byron for a month, who wasn't really having a good season to date when he went down, would undo much of the work they did through 20 games to get themselves to second in the division. Meanwhile, they're not far out of it, because you look around them, there's other teams that have had losing streaks and big ones. And, you know, who would have expected that the New York Rangers, who's playing Montreal tonight at Madison Square Garden, where I'm standing right now, is ahead of them in the standings right now by a point, and very much in the wild card conversation at this stage, just a short while after they announced that they were going on a rebuild. So this league is so close. You know, I could name you three or four teams at the top who I believe are upper echelon teams, and then I name you 25 teams that a lot of things need to go right for them to make the playoffs, and they seem to all be in the same boat. So Canadians believe they're in that mix, but they won't be if they don't start winning games.
Great chatting as always. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Take care.